Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, a special place of exploration, love, and healing. Stay inside your ride, but prepare to expand your consciousness. Your psychic pitchman, Michael Espinoza, and Lawrence Birch are your guides as we embark together on a magical journey. Here's the entrance, and right there is your seat. So, let's start the show.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, people. What a fun house it's going to be today.
Yes,
welcome. I'm here with my favorite co-host, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good, Lawrence. And I'm here with my favorite co-host, Lawrence Birch.
I'm your favorite? Wow, I didn't know that. Thank you. What an honor.
No. Sometimes.
You're your favorite for right now.
Mm-hmm. You're my favorite today.
Well, you know, but you're just getting such a reputation for brutal honesty. You know, I'm always amazed. Favorite for today. So today we are going to delve into the psychic book of terms and briefly discuss three of the probably most common terms in the psychic dictionary. And then I know we each have an immense number of experiences we can share under each category. So we'll look into our own filing cabinets and pull out some examples for people. Now, the other thing I want to mention is, you know, we talked to a lot of people, and I think we'd both agree that it's very common for our clients to, you know, tell us that, I'm not a psychic, you know, I couldn't do what you do, and da 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 da. And I think we're pretty consistent with coming back to them and saying, well, actually, you probably do have at least some psychic abilities. It just depends on, you know, whether or not you're willing to cultivate them, or, you know, how open you want to be. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. E?
We.
We
agreed.
Trace we. We. Yeah. So talk a little bit about that too. How to tune up and tune into your psychic abilities. And then of course we'll make time for some readings for folks who would like
then
that. So let's talk about the first term. What's that?
Okay. Then we can use those abilities.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So first term, right? So there's three terms: clairaudience, clairsentience, and clairvoyance. Now, I was in my research travels. I came across three other terms that we might touch on briefly, which are kind of interesting. Clairaliance and claircognizance. But we'll focus on the main three terms first for our audience. Start off with. So clair is basically from the French, I believe, and it means what it sounds like. It's a homonym for clear, right? So clear audience. So audience is hearing. So it's clear hearing. That's what that literally means, right? Uh-huh. And so in some definitions, it's kind of a type of channeling, right? So it's your ability to perceive messages, usually by hearing them, you know, with quotes around hearing in your own mind, right? And in some people, before they realize what's happening, they can think that, you know, they've got a voice going on in their head. And, you know, if you end up having a psychotic episode, then you might have less of a clairaudient situation and more of a schizophrenic situation happening. But it's not uncommon for people who have been diagnosed with a mental health issue to come to find out that they've been having some pretty intense paranormal or psychic activity as well. The two are not mutually exclusive, but when you're balanced, you can utilize these abilities to tune in for information and for healing, that sort of things, right? So so have you had messages come to you, you know, Michael? I would guess probably pretty often.
Rarely. No, I'm kidding. Yes, often.
Mm-hmm.
Often. I'll check the often mm-hmm. box. Yes.
Yeah. Can you think of one example recently or one that stands out when you page back through your experiences?
Yeah, the one that really sticks out in my mind, I guess it's when I first heard from my guides. That really kind of blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that's what all the chatting was in my head. I just thought I had a active brain that wouldn't shut up. And because I would get messages that, you know, like information come out of left field, like do this or do that or don't do this, do that. So it was always kind of like, oh my God, shut up. I can't stand this. So I mean, I never felt psychotic. And there were some instances where I did receive messages to give to people. But that kind of came with the clairsentience, a feeling. So, but it was like a very strong urging to give the message to somebody. But other than that, it was just kind of the chatter, constant chatter in the head. And I remember I was driving when I really became aware of the guides. And I don't remember what the subject was. I wish I would have wrote this down now. But I was thinking about something, and then I got this message that was kind of out of left field. And then I questioned it finally. I was like, where is this coming from? Because I was baffled by, you know, this message coming. I didn't know it was a message at the time. I just thought it was the brain. And I heard a response, and it said, it's coming from us. That's when it was kind of threw me off, and I was like, oh, well, who's us? And it said, your guide. And I was like, so anyway, the conversation ensued after that. And so that really stood out for me because I was getting an intelligent response, and they were specifically responding to questions I was asking. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's the time that it really stood out for me.
Yeah, that beginning stage when you were starting to realize more was going on than just what you thought was happening.
Right. Right. It, And before in the past, when I would get a message to give to somebody, I was usually in church, and I just didn't know we had guides at the time, and I just thought it was God giving me a message to give to somebody. And so that's how I viewed it at that point, at that time. And then when I started conversing with the guides, then it was like, my mind was just blown, like, oh my God, this is crazy. Yeah. So
in the beginning, when you were getting clairaudient messages, there wasn't like a back and forth. It was just you were hearing them and then just kind of responding or not or ignoring or whatever. But then when things really changed for you is when you started to engage with them more. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say? Or?
Yes. As I became more spiritual, then I really tuned in to what was being said. And then it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is a conversation here with something else. This isn't just in the brain. Yeah.
Right.
And
so
I
could
tell the difference.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I could tell the difference at the time that it wasn't when we think about something and we're thinking about, well, should I do this? Or should I, or no, let's not do that. Like when you have that conversation within yourself, it felt different because I would ask the question and I didn't get the immediate response. But it felt like it came from outside of me. What about you, sir? When was your first experience with clairaudience?
Oh man, my first experience.
Or I guess maybe your first awareness of clairaudience.
Yeah. Well, I think when I really, really started to tune in to psychic phenomena was when I began to work with plants, with herbs, right? And, I started growing them, and that was, just for me, that was really amazing, just getting to stick my fingers into the dirt and watch this whole life cycle. And it still amazes me that you can, take a seed and plant it, nurture it, and have that little tiny being, develop into this, it can be a ginormous tree at some point, when I started working with my teacher, Howie, and we would go out into just natural areas where plants were growing on their own, that was really when things started to take off for me, when I would start to pick up on stuff and started to feel energy. And then eventually what happened is the plants just kind of started talking to me. I can remember distinctly, a plant wanted to develop a deeper relationship with me, what I would call an ally, and it was a plant called Jimson weed or Datura, which is, it's definitely medicinal, but it's what I'd call a toxic medicinal because it has a lot of potential to be abused or misused. And pretty much every year there's somebody who, decides they're going to get high off of it and end up really sick or worse, unfortunately. So it's not a plant to mess around with if you don't know what you're doing. But I can remember I was riding in town on my bike, and I was just kind of tootling along, doing my thing. And I felt this tug and this voice. It was like I felt this little hook in my eye, like the corner of my eye, like turning my head. Hey, it didn't hurt. It was just like weird. It was like, what's going on? And then the minute like my head turned, like I could see this patch of these ginseng weed plants. And they were all like, here we are. you know, come over here and play with us. Don't miss us. I was like, oh, cool. Because I would have rode right, I was riding right by. I wouldn't have seen him otherwise. And I'm like, no. You know, want to talk to you. So, so that happens. Which is interesting.
And did it grow out of, from that point on? The, I guess maybe the communication, was it only with plants or did it evolve?
Well, it, you know what, it wasn't just plants. It was other sources. And it, I would say, yeah, it definitely evolved where things just started to build up in terms of experiences. And, you know, I'd done some reading and talked with people, and I didn't have a framework, a conceptual framework to really place everything, because I, even though I've been raised in a, you know, fairly open, cool, religious environment, it wasn't something that I continued practicing as an adult. It just didn't really, that particular institution didn't hold that much appeal for me, but I still felt, you know, there was something beyond just the science that I loved and worked with, and you know, so I kept looking, and it took a while, but eventually I found out about shamanism, and that just really resonated with me more than anything else. You know, I looked into like Wiccan traditions and other kinds of things. They're interesting, but I didn't feel the same, like, you know, pull to go be part of a coven or something. But shamanism seemed really spot on. And then I, when I started taking classes and working with other people, it just felt like a hand right in a glove. And that's when I started to get more specific information from guides, and when I picked up guides and weren't just plants, but were, you know, showing up in animal form or human or human-like form with all sorts of messages that way. And it gave me a structure, you know, gave me a way to be clear about when I was just with myself, and then when I went outside of that boundary to contact spirit world, because that was what was really hard in the beginning, was opening myself up to this and then having really not feeling like I had enough control over the process. You know what I mean? Kind of a little bit sound like what maybe you were experiencing in the beginning, where you're like, you know, stuff was hitting you and you're like, what is this exactly? Yeah. So.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
So then after that, did you become more aware of guides with you?
I did, yeah. The first, so one of the first workshops I took in shamanism, we learned how to do what's called a journey, where you picture yourself, in this instance, going down to a place called the Lower World to look for a spirit guide. And there's a lot of different ways to get spirit guides, you know, all sorts of different traditions. And this one, I wasn't going to be able to get it on my own. I needed somebody to get my guide for me, just to make it more authentic so I wouldn't be biased necessarily. And so the person who is my partner did a journey on my behalf, and he came back, and I had a really strong sense of connection with the guy that he picked up for me, and it turned out to be a killer whale spirit. And right away, I was just like, oh, this is so right on. Like, even now, talking about it, I get chills. And it was just, you know, just really amazing. And then after that, you know, I had other people pick up guides for me, and then I picked up guides through different formats using an animal card deck, and then just, you know, asking, you know, who should I work with? Who do I need to go to? You know, what's going to be the most helpful? So I've got a fairly diverse retinue of kind of rotating spirit guides and helpers that I work with. Some have been with me since the beginning. I still work with my killer whale spirit, and others, you know, have come in more recently. Sometimes they just show up for special purpose, and that's their thing. So it just depends. But like, mostly communication. Yeah. Most of the communication is done kind of under this clairaudience framework, you know, where you're, you know, getting the message inside of your mind. So how about clairsentience? You know about that term, right? Some people call that psychometry, where has more to do with objects or places, you know, where you maybe even when you touch somebody, you get the energy that that person is embodying or surrounding them. You know, somebody can give you a crystal and you can feel it and just be like, oh man, like when I first had somebody do Reiki with me, they used this crystal up and down my body and I could feel it like a magnet, you know, like going up and down my body. It was really powerful. Have you had clairsentience experiences, Michael?
Many. Yeah. For me, those happened more in the beginning where I was feeling spirit people nearby. I'd go into a home or a building and you'd feel them and they'd come up and want to talk to you. And I didn't know it at the time. You can feel their energy and that I didn't like. And also touching objects, picking up information that way. And also when I do healing work with people, I can feel, I experience what's going on with them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be kind of challenging to calibrate, right, what your, you know, senses or body or whatever is telling you, how it's interpreting the information coming from the person that you're working with, right? Because it's not always just like, oh, you know, I feel sick. Oh, I feel sick too in the same way. You know, it's your body just kind of does something different with that energy, translating it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's so subtle. Like yesterday, I had this client, and as I was working with this person, I just, it felt like my brain just wouldn't focus. And I was all over the place, and it was very fuzzy. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, okay, concentrate, like, focus, let's do this. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute, this might not be me. So I asked her, I said, do you have trouble concentrating? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's a really big problem. I'm like, ah, okay, got it. And then I just have to remind my body, this is not me. This is her.
Right.
What she's experiencing. Right. And so it helped me to, at that moment, it just creates the distance that you need to move through it or get past it. What about you? How did you experience that, or how have you experienced that?
You know, while I was thinking about the show, I was remembering, you know, my dad, when he was married to his second wife, I went down to live with him for a summer when I was still a teenager in the Santa Cruz Bay Area in California. And because I'd been up here in Oregon for a while. And towards the middle of my stay there, he had this psychic come in to basically do a reading for his relationship. He and his fiance, they were getting married that summer, and they were just, you know, she was pretty big into mystical stuff, and my dad was open to it as well. So they had this woman come in, right? And they also had a personal chef who would come in a few times a week and make meals, and I got to know her pretty well. She was pretty cool. So she and I were in the house. She was in the kitchen, and I was kind of at the dining table, and we knew this person was coming, but we'd never met them before, right? So they came in, and they were totally intense, like didn't make eye contact with either of us. They were going to go to the bedroom to do the reading with my folks, and as this person walked by, it was like being right next to a freight train going by, this big like wall came out from this person. I literally felt it like, almost as a physical thing hitting me. Like I went back. So this person had created this shield around them, basically, right? So they could just stay focused and not, be disrupted in any way. And it was really powerful. And I've never felt that as intensely since. But what was interesting, because my friend, the cook, was there, she and I both like looked at each other like, oh my God, did you feel that? And she's like, yeah, that was crazy. And we just kept talking about it because it just was still like resonating with us. So, so that person's energy was just, totally amped up and way out there. And it makes sense, because they were going to have to really open up and tune in, and they didn't want any kind of challenge or interference or threat or anything to affect their process. But that was pretty interesting. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So clairvoyance is the last one we're going to talk about in any depth. That just means clear sight. So this is how psychics acquire information just in general, but it's also can be literally like a vision where you see things. This is where dreaming comes in, prophetic dreams. You have a dream about somebody and then the next day they contact you. If you work with animals, this is a channel that you're going to use a lot. And this is helpful when the person or object or whatever it is you're trying to connect with isn't there with you, and you kind of go to that clairvoyant place to see something. And it can be nonlinear, meaning that it's not fixed in the present. You can go back in time with clairvoyance. You can go forward, right? So it's just how you pick up on, past or future events or people, what's going on, somebody's lost, that sort of thing. So,
right.
And I guess the other thing to keep in mind is that it's often what I would call a synesthesia or a synesthetic experience to do psychic work. These three terms are kind of their own categories, but there's a lot of overlap when psychics work, right? Sometimes they just have one process that they're working under, like maybe they're really clairaudient more than anything else. But oftentimes it's, you'll get several things. And so part of the process can be like slowing that down and filtering it and, organizing it so the information that's coming to you can actually be used for something constructive rather than just be kind of like overwhelming, right? Like what you felt at first with that person when you're tuning in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is clairvoyance how you would describe your process with pranic healing? Does that come into play at all when you use that medium with clients? Or?
I kind of get everything. I don't think it's one thing. When I'm doing readings or healing, it's kind of everything all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I receive the information, it feels like a golf ball. It's everything all at once, all wrapped up. And so it takes me a while to kind of at times to pull it apart to see how I'm getting this information. Because all of a sudden, you just kind of get feeling, thought, and image. Okay, wait a minute here. Yeah, so it just takes a little while sometimes to unravel that. But the majority of the way I receive information, why I call myself a clairvoyant, is that's how I initially started receiving everything. It was usually through image. But now it's kind of everything all at once.
Yeah.
Okay. How about for you? How do you receive your information?
Well, it depends on, I guess, what task I have at hand. you know, if I'm working on somebody's behalf, it's a different set of intentions than if stuff just comes to me, or maybe I'm trying to do something for myself. You know, and so, you know, in addition to shamanic work, I also do tarot. So using those is a different way of gaining stuff. And I've kind of modified my interactions with my guides to do readings, so that the process I'm used to doing for shamanic work isn't as, what's the word I want to use? There's not so much process, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I just kind of make contact with my guides and go from there, whereas classically it's a little bit more of an undertaking. So, you know, it just depends. I have some guides that are more specialists in kind of showing me stuff. So I'm pretty visual, so a lot of my information, you know, still comes to me through visual things, but there's also a lot that, you know, that I'll tune into or hear or pick up on. It just really depends. You know, some people really, you know, you get the clients who are just really there with you right away, and it's just like a, you know, fitting into a socket, like there's an instant charge between the two of you, and so there's a really, you know, good exchange of information that's happening. They're open, they're trusting, you're present with them, and that they're present with you, and so you get, you know, the whole bandwidth. And then sometimes with other people, you have to coax them out, or it's just a different process, and so, you know, sometimes they have to kind of pour a little gas in the carburetor, so to speak, to jumpstart things and, you know, really, like, get things going. But, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we have quite a few people lined up today who are callers, so we should probably get to some of them, I would think.
All right. Let's go to the lines.
Yes, the wild card line. So here on the Psychic Funhouse, if you're a listener who wants a reading, we'll open up your line and let you know that we're talking to you. Hopefully you hear us. You got to turn, if you're listening to us on a different device, you got to turn that down or off. But we'll ask for your name if you feel comfortable sharing it, and your location, just so we get a general idea where you are. And then if you'd like to briefly share a psychic experience you've had that was maybe clairaudient or clairsentient or clairvoyance, be happy to hear that. And if you'd like a reading about something, some insight into things going on in your life, that's what Michael and I are here for too. So those ground rules in mind. So call number one. So this is area code 520. Hi, caller. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael and Lawrence. What's your name and where are you calling from? Are you there, caller? Uh-oh. I might be in nap mode. I have to go to the next caller. All right, caller, we'll come back to you. Okay, let's go to caller number two. Hi, this is Marika 203. Hi there, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Pat. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Pat from Connecticut. How are you?
Hi. Good. Good, thanks. How are you, too?
Good.
I'm good. I think Michael is. Yeah. Do you have a psychic experience you feel like sharing?
Yeah, I've had maybe three or so major ones in my life, and really, past number of years, I've thought, wow, I really haven't had any more. I wonder why they stopped. Anyway, a major one was the Space Challenger, and it was pretty creative. Mm-hmm. I actually was a couple of hours away from my home with my boyfriend, and we weren't having a good time, and I kind of just was standing and slumped down to the floor and sat down, and I thought, I really don't want to be here. And suddenly I saw a pyramid, Egyptian pyramid, and I was on the ground looking at it, and between the stones, it was pulsating fire. And I thought, well, that's really weird, and that's an interesting thing. I should remember it and paint it. And then suddenly I was up in the air looking down on it, and let's see what happened next. Then all of a sudden there was a profile. It was like I was looking at a movie screen. It was framed, and there was the most incredible face. It's the only thing that was in there, and it was sort of like a timeless astronaut suit. What was that cartoon thing? Gordon? Flash Gordon?
Oh, yeah, Flash Gordon. Yeah, classic.
And and it was also made out of reptile skin. And he was nodding back and forth, silhouette. And it was the most incredible, loving energy that came from him. And he said, and I didn't hear it, I just, you know, in my mind heard the words, don't worry.
Clear audience. Mm-hmm.
Everything's okay. And something about they don't understand. And I came home the next day, turned on the TV, and the news was about the Space Challenger. And the only thing that I saw at that point was I saw the parents looking up in the sky and, you know, the confusion on their face. They couldn't even absorb it. And I looked at them and I thought, oh, my goodness, they don't understand that they're all okay. That was just in my head. It didn't really register. And then on the way, picking my son up a few hours later, I realized what I had seen was the Space Challenger. And I was being given the message that everything, they're in agreement. They're all in agreement. That was the message.
Mm.
The astronauts.
Wow.
And then sometime later, then when I was up in the air looking, first I was up in the air, then I was down on the ground looking at the pyramid, and it was snowing white chrysanthemums. Then a few weeks later, they had a memorial service out on the waters in Florida, and the news was that they were throwing over white chrysanthemums.
Okay.
And that's when it really
wow.
convinced me, you know, what I had seen was a premonition. And I always wondered, I always felt there was something hidden about that challenger that we never learned about. It was just my intuition, something that they, you know, not so good that they didn't share with us. But the strongest thing that came to me was that I felt so bad for the family members because they didn't know that all the astronauts had agreed to this. For whatever reason. I mean, clearly they agreed to it for a reason, and that I didn't know either. I couldn't, you know, I was wondering about that.
Wow, that's powerful.
And another one I'll just add real quickly, I've never seen UFOs in my whole life, but for 2 weeks, almost every single night, I saw them in the skies, and I would bring my son out as a witness. And then about 2 weeks later, he had a horrific accident, broke his back, and actually left a couple of times. And I asked the psychic later, you know, what was that about? And they said, well, sometimes they come in celebration, sometimes they come in support, blah, blah, blah. You know, once his accident happened, I didn't see them again.
Wow. How's your son today?
Great.
Well, he's got some inner paralysis. He's now 40. He never dealt with it. So he's got anger, which is really sad. He's alive, he's married, he's got a child, which is certainly changing him, and I say a lot of prayers.
Well, he's got an amazing psychic mom, so that must help too.
I don't know. I think he thinks I'm kind of kooky.
Kooky's okay. You can be kooky. We like kooky here. You're in the right
place. I do too. But I think, well, anyway. So I've not had really anything for a long time. I do watch the animals and believe that I'm getting messages all the time. Lots of times I don't know what they are, but really into animals. And I'm wondering, the one that was talking about herbalism, if you'd ever heard of this book, it's old, MAP, the Co-Creative White Brotherhood Medical Assistance Program.
I have not. No. Tell me about that.
You might want to Google it. The woman that wrote it is not my kind of personality, but I've kept this with me since the 70s, and I've used it often for prayer work and calibration, and I learned about oversouls of animals through here, and she deals incredible amount of her work is with gardening and flowers and herbs and all the energies that live, the divas that live within all of it. That's really what she's about.
Wow.
Okay.
So you might be, it's very different. You might be interested in taking a look at that.
All right, MAP. I'll look for it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Pat. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would love a reading. I don't know if you do just anything or if you have to have a question.
It's up to you. You know, helps to have a question, I think, just because we tune in a little more quickly, but it's up to you.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll let you pick. Either health or I've been single for 30 years or more, and I'm really, really ready to have a relationship and in a lot of sense to be rescued, to have, you know, to have a relationship bring me things that I've been without for a long, long time. That or health, as I just went through a health crisis.
Well, I guess, you know, what moved at the front of the line for me was, you know, when you said the word single. So I think that's got the most charge.
Okay.
What's your process been to move away from singlehood, Pat? Are you doing anything active or is it a passive process?
No,
at this point,
no.
Or?
I don't. I tried that. That's not me. And I also, the way my life has always worked is I walk out the door and magic happens, you know?
okay.
So not all the time, not lately. I've been, I think, cut off in lots of ways. But that's the way I work and that's the way I kind of, anything, you know, going out and trying to manifest stuff doesn't, it's not right for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you do any manifestation work? Okay. Do you do any kind of manifestation work at home, like in your own environment, like where, you know, you might, you know, have some journaling or specific process or maybe even a ritual that you're doing to try to acquire a partner? Is that something you do or have done before?
Not to acquire an apartment. I've been lighting a candle lately for a lot of people that have passed or need help, things like that. I'm an artist and I'm not focused. I'm distracted a lot, so a lot of things I start and don't stick with.
Okay. So here's what my guides are coming up with for you. And you know, this is a Mission Impossible thing, so if you choose to accept it, great. If you don't, the tape's gonna self-destruct, so no worries. I want you to do a spirit portrait of your ideal partner. So
it
can be I want you to do a spirit portrait of your ideal partner. It can be something that you do totally consciously or more automatically in sync with whatever energies or guides come up for you, but and you have to complete it in kind of one sitting. So there's no room for putting it off. You get to use whatever medium you want.
That's interesting because I had a dream 4 days ago or so. I'm doing homeopathic medicine, and mm-hmm. after I took an increase in dose, I had a dream that I was with a man, someone so much who I wouldn't choose, and just hugging him, I was enveloped by, oh my goodness, like going home back to love that I knew maybe when I was 18. And it was mm-hmm. it was wonderful. The feelings were just mm-hmm. wonderful. And I thought, this is great. This means it's coming in, but mm-hmm. I also need to remember these positive feelings. And then I mm-hmm. remembered the face was very much like a face I drew probably 20 years ago. Not an attractive mm-hmm. face, but this is the face I drew. So I thought, that's interesting. And also someone did give me a reading recently and said, it's not going to be an attractive person. It's going to be bald, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, and that's kind of what I saw in my dream and what I drew years ago.
Well, there you go. I think this is definitely in alignment then. So
yeah,
you think this is something you can set yourself to doing, just sitting down, and it sounds like you just have to illustrate what you already had as your dream or vision. Or maybe do it again, even, sounds like.
Okay. And why are you telling me to draw this?
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, you want a why question answer. I don't know. Those are extra.
Why are you telling me to draw this?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be drawn. It can be painting or even mosaic if you want to work with that. Just whatever artistic medium works best for you. So you're able to be in the flow with it and complete.
Okay.
Make sense?
No. I'm just wondering, why is it important to do that?
Well, I think this is kind of a non-linear way for you to really draw down. So here's what my guides are saying. There's a lot of your consciousness that exists, you know, on totally different planes. And so part of you is really happy up there, in some ways happier than you are down here. So I think that's the draw and attraction. And that's a very common thing. I mean, I have that myself. So in order for things to manifest here on the material plane, you know, where there's stuff and objects that we, you know, at least think they're real, you can't be up there all the time. You got to be here. And so, you know, having some kind of prescription for you to do, you know, A, B, C, D, that's not going to work. But you're already a creative person. So channeling that medium that you have already, you know, a lot of experience with, in order to accomplish a goal that you have, which is to find somebody and to complete it, this is the best way for you to do it. For you to engage in that process, it's creative and it'll hold your attention and also release it, right? So it actually has a chance to be successful. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Michael, do you have anything to add? Michael's a very creative person as well. So
he
might have something.
No, I don't have anything to add. I think you covered everything there, or your guides did. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Well,
do that, Pat.
Thank you both.
And then, yeah, get back to us, and you get to describe what it looks like, or maybe we'll use our psychic abilities to see if we can tell what it is when you complete it.
Thanks.
Sounds exciting.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for sharing.
Thank
you,
Pat.
That's really wonderful. Yeah, all that info. Good luck with everything, my friend.
Michael, I looked on your site. I looked for artwork. You don't show any of your work, right?
No, not on my website, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, have a good
night.
Good luck. Bye-bye. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Pat. Well, that was a lot. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's get another caller in, shall we?
Do it.
All right. Okay. This is area code 856.
Hi, there. How are you?
We're good. You're on with Michael Lawrence. Who's this? Where are you calling from? What's your name?
Rosemary from New Jersey.
Rosemary?
Right.
Okay. How are you doing, Rosemary?
Doing good.
Good.
Could be better, but
do
good.
Could be better? Well,
whatever you guys pick up for me. I know I've been doing some changes and upgrades, and what I really want is not happening, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Let's see what our guides have to say. Yeah, I'm not getting anything right now. Anything coming up for you, Michael?
I'm getting that you're going through a very challenging time, and it feels like it's been a while now that you've been going through this. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And they're saying what's important is this, you need to kind of keep your nose to the grindstone here and keep at it. Don't kind of give up. Don't think, okay, this is just going to resolve itself. Because it feels like there's some issues you still need to address within yourself and look inside and figure out, okay, I'm going to get this stuff done and change some things and so I can move forward. But it feels like if you do that, things are going to change for you. And it feels kind of like you'll come out of this the beginning of next year. And it feels like they want you to know this is going to be a little bit longer, but you're going to come out of this okay.
Cool. Appreciate
it. That's what I'm getting. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary.
Bet.
Be well.
Luck with everything.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. No time for another caller? What do you think? Let's try one more. This is area code 786. Hi there.
Yes.
You're on the Psychic Funhouse. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
My name is Luz. I'm calling from Florida.
Say your name again,
for me.
Yeah.
Luz, L-U-Z.
Oh, Luz, like from Florida. In Spanish? Luz?
You got it.
Oh, muy bien. Okay. What can we do for you, Luz? That's a pretty name.
Thank you. Do you have any insight regarding the court? I'm waiting for my divorce to conclude, and I would like to move from the marital house after the divorce. So if you can give me any pointers, maybe by when do you see me moving out of the marital house, or by when do you see the divorce ending, and any results from it?
Yeah. Well, this is not a simple divorce process that you're going through. Do you feel safe? I just want to ask you that. like physically safe, emotionally safe right now, Liz?
Oh.
Hello?
Yes. I'm living in the house only with my dog. My daughter is with the father this week, so I'm alone. I'm alone here.
Okay. Do you have somebody that checks up on you every day or regularly?
Mom. Yeah, my family comes when I have my daughter this often.
Okay. I don't think you're in any danger. I just think that what I get from you is a sense of being very, very, very vulnerable and not feeling protected. So I think that's more what I'm picking up on. I'm sure divorce situation, that's a lot of what's just coming out because of the process. So you wanted to know specifically when you're going to move out of the house or how the divorce is going to go? Is that?
Yes, I mean, I'm afraid now that I hear you saying that. I mean, I also broke up with that boyfriend. I broke up with the boyfriend like 2 weeks ago, and he tried coming over the house uninvited a couple of times, like checking up on me, and I didn't like that. So I blocked his number, his email, everything, and I hope that he can accept the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Has he tried to contact you since you told him to back off?
Yeah.
He
tried to come by the house uninvited. He never gave me back the house key, so I had to change the lock. And it's a house, you know, where anyone can break the patio window, you know. It's just a regular neighborhood. So I guess there isn't, you know, there isn't the protection of a guard or a high-rise building, you know. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I blocked everything about him, so hopefully he'll get the idea that he needs to move on. And my ex-husband, he used to collect guns. So, but I guess ever since the divorce started, I guess he said to the judge that he had gotten rid of them. So, and I don't really have much of a contact with him, you know, except for emails through the court email system about our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, really. So. Unless you feel an energy or something scary inside the house.
Yeah.
What? Guess what? The energy inside the house, or is it an ex living person that I used to date?
I guess, you know, what came up at first was just the husband. The more you discuss your boyfriend, he seems like a concern to me. I don't want to make you fearful. Like, that's the absolute last thing I want to do. But do you have a girlfriend that could come stay with you for even like the next few days or a week or something? Somebody who could be there with you.
I can call my girlfriend to come over to spend the weekend with me if you feel that concern. She did the first weekend after the breakup. She stayed here for the weekend with me.
I think the other thing you should really consider, I'm not saying you have to do this yet, but I do think you should consider filling out a restraining order against the boyfriend if he's, you know, still persisting and he doesn't take no for an answer. But I would have somebody come stay with you. Just, I think it's more for your peace of mind than anything, but it'd be good to have an extra set of eyes and ears there with you. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. I don't feel like I would be doing my job if I wasn't bringing this up. So, And okay. Again, I don't see anything happening. I don't think you're in danger. I just think that before any of the other details get taken care of, you need to have some peace of mind and just feel safe in your own home. And right now you don't have that as much. And I think just having somebody there is going to help you, you know, sort out some of the stuff and figure out, you know, what's next for you. I will say things are going to work out in your favor. It might not seem like that right now or even in the near future, but I think most of what you're hoping to have happen in the divorce is going to turn out just fine. So, you know, be assured by that. Okay?
Okay, that sounds awesome. And,
yeah,
it's
Michael?
Okay.
Your divorce is going to go through, and that feels like it's at the end of this year or beginning of next year. It feels like it's going to go slow for a while, and then all of a sudden it will go through really quickly. So I would wait a few more months, and I think that's going to go through. Maybe it's like
perfect.
Christmas
a few more months. That's awesome.
Yeah, it feels like at the end of the year. Yeah.
Okay. And regarding the vulnerability, it's not about bad energy inside the house. Like some, you know, because I come from the Hispanic culture, and they always blame it on a spirit or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. No, I didn't receive any of that information. Yeah.
Okay. It's
I think if there's anything I think if there's anything like that, it's just the residue of your past relationships with these people that still, you know, got like an I would just call it an after signature there, but there's nothing inhabiting the area that's causing anything bad to happen. You haven't had any like poltergeist activity or anything show up, have you? Like weird stuff or doors opening or shutting or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. No, nothing that scares me or hurts me. No, nothing. No, none of that sort of thing. Last year, I only heard clearly something like a pink heart, and I said to myself, "Oh my God, I thought I heard something, and then I heard it louder." So I just got a pink crystal, and that was it. But I pray a lot, and I don't really practice anything else, you know. But if you don't feel anything energetic, you know, because my mom is always feeling, you know, stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't, you know. Of course, this is an old house, so whoever lives here probably comes and visits energetically, but I don't feel anything negative.
I don't feel
really.
Anything in your home. I don't feel anything there. Yeah.
Okay.
I think whatever might be coming at you is coming from outside of the house, so that's what I would focus on. But,
all right, thanks.
You know, just be careful. Just be careful. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Just be careful. Be smart. And you already are, so just keep doing what you're doing. But yeah, have a girlfriend come stay with you this weekend, maybe for a while, until this cools off.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you bet, Liz. Thanks for calling.
Enjoy the show very much.
Funhouse. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Call again anytime. Let us know how you're doing.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Good night.
All right. Yep.
Good night.
Buenas. Oops. Wrong outro. There we go. Well, you've done it again. You've come to
the end of the
ride
show.
Of the Psychic Funhouse. That's right. That's right. You know,
well, thank you,
park
everybody,
is shutting
for
down.
Calling.
Yeah. Grab your last corn dog, ear of corn, elote, cotton candy. Time to leave. The Psychic Funhouse is closing down for the night.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, Mr. Espinosa,
calling everybody.
People wanted to get in touch with you. How could they do that?
Go to michaeljespinosa.com. You can also call me or send a text to 562-457-0457. How about you, Lawrence?
Awesome. Yeah, my number, you can call or text, 541-344-7534. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. And I have a Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herb. and a website, www.givingtree.com. So, thanks for contacting us today on the Psychic Funhouse. Sorry we didn't get to everybody today, but you're always welcome to contact us outside of the show if you'd like private readings or healings. And we will be back next week for another exciting time at the Psychic Funhouse. So this is Lawrence Birch from Michael Espinosa signing off. Be well and have a great weekend, everybody.